us, it'd be wrong to say every position's up for grabs.
Like, I know Henry's won this race a few times, but I haven't, and that's just an incredible race to win. Yeah,
no fear at all, because the boss is the boss.
Winning Rossmann was never even on my radar.
Whoever dreamt anyone was going to get to 100 winners, it was just something that was unachievable.
We stood up, we showed our character like we do in every single game.
This is SportsBeat Extra on Beat.
I'm Aldrin Johnson and you're listening to SportsBeat Extra. Coming up on this week's show, Ireland have a one goal advantage going into their second leg fixture against Bulgaria in the Nations League playoffs. I'll be joined by John Fallon, who was at the match in Bulgaria ahead of Sunday's clash. And we'll hear from the Waterford FC women's team following their first ever home game at the RSC and ahead of their trip to the showgrounds in Sligo. But first, let's take a look ahead to the final weekend of the Hurling League fixtures in Division 1A.
Sports Beat Extra.
Beat 102-103.
Here's Craig Morgan. Morgan can go left or right. Goes to his right. Goal. And the goal is scored by Dylan Walsh.
Delighted to be joined by Off the Ball's Will O'Callaghan ahead of the final round of fixtures for the Division 1A league. It's shaping up to be an interesting weekend. One very standout game and then two sort of non-games really, but of course obviously always fighting for bragging rights. Will, thanks so much for joining me. We'll start anyways obviously with Limerick-Wexford. Wexford just about really fighting for bragging rights at this stage, and despite Kilkenny beating Limerick, you'd probably favour Limerick in this clash, wouldn't you?
I think so, but I think also for Wexford this is about preparing for championship. It's one last game for them to just kind of tune things up, and oftentimes the way that you finish out in the National Hurling League, even when this game is the definition of a dead rubber with Wexford already relegated and Limerick knowing after that defeat, as you mentioned, at Nolan Park last week that they can't qualify for the final anymore, I think Wexford would still like to take some momentum out of this game going into championship, whether that be performance or whether that be 2 points on the board, because it gives it a very different look if Wexford turn around and say they won away from home against Clare and say they were to push or possibly beat Limerick in the last round. It looks very different to going down with just the 2 points, and say if they were to take a bit of a scutching against Limerick in the last round before the Leinster Championship. So I think Keith Rosser will be looking at it that way. I think Wexford have definitely looked a stronger team towards the end of the league than they looked at the start. That's understandable when you don't have Lee Chin, when you take Rory O'Connor's initial injury and his suspension during the middle of the league as well. The players who retired that we've talked about previously on the show. It's been a wind of change, and it's been a case of looking at maybe some new players during the league as well. I much prefer the look of Wexford now than I did 5 to 6 weeks ago, and I would give them a much better chance in the Leinster Championship than I would have in the middle of the league, particularly after some of those. I remember they went down so limply away from home against Tipperary, and you would have been concerned if you were a Wexford supporter at that point. But what we've seen since has been a little bit better.
Absolutely. I mean, speaking on Wexford a little bit, obviously looking to have a better championship campaign. Another side that will also be looking to have a better championship campaign than a league campaign is Clare. They're going up against Tipperary, obviously tip top of the league. There's nothing stopping them from getting into that final game. There's nothing really to lose here for either side. Clare's already relegated. Tip is already safely in the top two. How do you kind of see this game playing out? Is it a case that teams might try something a bit different, maybe to try and shake things up just to really cement their squads before going into the championship?
So I really feel this game is probably more important for Clare than it is for Tipperary. We were trying to predict this on the Hurling Pod with James Scale and Paul Murphy this week, and we had kind of varying thoughts where Scale thinks that Tipperary should be trying to make sure that they don't drop off their level and that they go into the league final in the best form possible, and Liam Callan and Tipperary will really want to win the league, and because they've been the most consistent team that we have seen in 2025 so far, you don't want to take a defeat, particularly at home in the last round. You want to go and win and set yourself up very nicely for the league final. I think it's, for me, the need to win this game is more on Clare's side, because I think Clare have to show a response from the way that they played against Cork the last day. There's going to be so much noise externally, so many questions being asked about Clare if they don't put in a really good display against their rivals Tipperary this weekend. And look, the reality is that Tipperary have done very little wrong so far, with the exception of the second half of that Limerick game where they were out-hurled. And that happens, particularly when Limerick click into gear as they did that day. Outside of that, Tipperary have gone about their business really well so far. They'll be very happy winning away from home in Nolan Park. The victory that they picked up against Cork. Going to Galway and really putting them to the sword to kind of lay down a marker for what they wanted to do in the league this year. The fact that Darren McCarthy has emerged now as a really key player in that forward line, even at his very tender age. Given what Gerald O'Connor was able to do in the Fitzgibbon Cup and still come back in and play well for Tipperary, finding some of those key positions and combinations, which they have done during the year. We've spoken before about the fact that Jake Morris looks liberated playing in the number 11 jersey at this stage. They'd be disappointed, obviously, with some things that have happened, like the red card for Alan Tynan, which should never have been a red card, which ultimately resulted in a suspension. But I think, again, he comes straight back in. He's a starter. If you're Liam Cahill, you've got to feel at this stage, even though they have tried out quite a few young players during the league, that they're getting very close now to what their 15 is going to look like for the championship as well. And the perfect springboard, I would think, for Tipperary is to go into that league final, whether that be against Cork or against Galway. Go and win it. And don't be concerned about all the noise where people talk about, oh, well, look, Waterford in 22 went way too hard into the year under Liam Cahill and they faded later in it. And Tipperary were good up until the league semi-final last year but faded during the summer. Tipperary need to work out their championship after they finish this block in the league. And ultimately, I think there's no harm whatsoever for Tipperary to try and pick up some silverware, which would be very fair reward for what they've done so far this season.
Absolutely. I mean, you mentioned obviously that game coming up, the whether Tip will be playing against Cork or Galway. The deciding match this weekend, which is obviously going to be live on RTE as well, is the Cork-Galway match. It decides second place. And if results go their way, actually Cork could finish in first as well, however unlikely or likely that may be. The Galway-Cork game, though, it's really an interesting one, isn't it?
It is. I mean, I was talking to Sean O'Gohalpin during the week and he was saying, well, Cork, yeah, they don't need to win. They just need to avoid defeat. And then I was saying to him, well, you don't really play for a draw in hurling, do you? I know it's a slight advantage to know that you don't have to actually win the game and get the 2 points on the board. It'll be enough to keep Cork inside the top two if they pick up one. I think Cork go out to try and win this. Again, I think Cork laid down a real marker to the entire country with what they did at Ennis last time out, where you go there, you're free scoring, played much closer to the All-Ireland team than they had previous in the league. I felt that Pat Ryan particularly was trying to have a look at players early on, which is totally understandable. And if you get someone like Dermot Healy, who's able to score 1-5 from play a few weeks ago against Kilkenny, that is a fantastic thing to have. During the week, Patrick Horgan, who has been very much used in a kind of coming off the bench role for the best part during this, and now as we go on, he's getting more and more minutes into his legs. He has said that he reckons this is the best panel that Cork have had in the 18 years that he's been a senior intercounty hurler when it comes to depth. He's not sure if the team are maybe the best team that they've had, but he reckons the panel is as deep as they've ever been. And it's difficult to argue against that. Themselves and Limerick have shown that they've got 2 and 3 players for many positions at the moment. And Cork's under-20 team from a couple of seasons ago are starting to just slowly but surely get sprinkled in, and they're getting more game time as they go along. And then they've got these players who are just remarkable athletes, particularly across their forward line. If that Cork forward line clicks, and if there's good ball coming out, and oftentimes there are because they've got a really good puck out both from their goalkeeper and players winning it around the middle of the field. If they can get ball into that forward line, Cork are going to do damage to absolutely anybody. And I would be a little bit worried about Galway this weekend because I'm just not sure at this stage, Oran, if we have seen the real Galway or who Galway are. Because they ask, you know, the question, will the real Galway stand up? I find it very difficult to draw a line through their form with what we've seen so far. So appalling. Body language-wise, hurling-wise, everything in the first game. Got hammered off the field. And you would have been thinking, okay, Michal has come back in here and he would be expecting so much more from this team. Then he runs off a string of players. He's working with a panel of around 48 at that time in the league. They win 3 games in a row, which has kept them in contention to get to the league final on the last week. And yet they were blown out of the water by Limerick in their last game, where they got nowhere near the pitch of the game. Their forwards gave them very little return. The Bull O'Brien actually outscored them from play during the game. They hit a raft of wides, and they were just far too accommodating in allowing space for Limerick to attack them. If they allow that type of space with Cork's running game currently, Cork can put up a massive scoreline. You saw what happened when Clare were just a little bit off at the last day, and Cork were able to punish every bit of space that opened up in front of them. And if Galway don't go down in a way that they would be sticky and difficult to break down, this is one where Cork could put up potentially a big scoreline. I'm hoping that we see the Galway team that went to Nolan Park and won. I'm hoping that we see the Galway team that put in a pretty good performance at home against Clare. But I wouldn't be 100% sure that's what we're going to see. And I think Galway's intention of peaking is going to be a little bit later, maybe even than what we see from Cork. So a bit like Tipperary, I think Cork wouldn't mind getting a piece of silverware, having been close to winning the All-Ireland Championship last year. I think with Galway, their main focus is on being right for the Leinster Championship. I would say particularly that game when they play against Kilkenny next month, that's where Galway want to be in form. I think Micheál Donoghue and his backroom team are allowing them to just feel their way into it ever so slightly. They don't feel the need to be at the pitch of it in the same way that some of the Munster teams do, where they're going to go battling in a few weeks' time at the start of April. I think Galway want to be stronger towards the end of April than now. And so I think for that reason, I would expect Cork to get the job done and to set up a Cork-Tipperary final, which will be an absolute cracker on the 5th of April if those two teams meet, because we maybe didn't get the best of either team when it came to the match that Tipperary won early on in the league. I think both teams are better than they were then. And I think they'd go and have a good cut at each other in a couple of Saturdays' time in that final. So I fully expect it's going to be Cork that beat Galway this weekend. Now, my predictions, I'm ahead of the two lads on the Hurling Pod Prediction League for this year. But so don't trust me entirely when I've got eight games wrong during the league. But I do think that the Cork will get the business done at Super Value Páirc Uí Chaoimh tonight.
Absolutely. Well, anyone from Cork will be hoping that your predictions are top-notch this weekend. We'll obviously all those games throw in at 7:30 on Saturday. Thanks a million again and best of luck.
Sports Beat Extra.
Ball in behind for Doherty, who's brave and gets his reward. Another fabulous delivery.
Well, I'm delighted to be joined by the Irish Examiner's John Fallon, who was obviously out in Bulgaria to see our 2-1 victory for Ireland in the Nations League playoff. It's a great result to be bringing back, John, isn't it?
It is, Adrian. It's what we really needed, because I think this is a tie that really sort of, you have more to lose than gain by winning, because certainly after what happened in November, losing 5-0 to England, if we were to be eliminated by a Bulgarian team who are in League C compared to us in League B, that would really dent confidence heading into more serious business later in the year. So thankfully, we won 2-1 on Thursday in the first leg, and it was a comfortable 2-1. There was no hanging on, which you might have had in the past. And I think we saw enough from the game, both in terms of Ireland's ability, but also the limitations of Bulgaria, to feel that we can not just scrape through this tie in the second leg on Sunday, but we can win it emphatically.
Am I right in saying going into the game on Thursday there seemed to be some controversy surrounding the Bulgarian team and Dimitar Berbatov and everything? Do you think that might have had an effect on it?
Yeah, it's the Bulgarian football. We often talk about crisis in Ireland, but being in Bulgaria for a few days, there really is a level of apathy around the Bulgarian national team. And they were a superpower in the 90s, but haven't qualified for anything since 2004. It's a lot of it is wrapped up in politics, and then you have the situation with the manager Ilian Ilyas, who is also a club manager in the Bulgarian league, and that's created a lot of resentment locally. He's been accused of bias towards his own players. So all in all, the backdrop to the match was one of chaos really for Bulgaria, and despite them going ahead after only 5-6 minutes, the pattern of the game really went with form, and that Ireland pressed home their dominance and got two goals before half time. And we were in a stadium in Plovdiv, which is 18,000 capacity, but there was less than half that. So the only real feelings that were expressed by the home support were one, the disappointment with a lot of whistling and negative chanting towards the manager and the players. So their manager has actually said post-match that he feels this tie is effectively over already because they've lost at home. So we'll take whatever advantage we can, and the fact that they seem to be in a state of turmoil is sort of playing into our hands.
And actually, just on that as well, obviously about the controversy of the Bulgarian manager, was there much, because obviously you were out of the game, was there much jeering when his son came on as a substitute?
Yeah, there was. Yeah, that was quite a bizarre incident where their goalkeeper tried to take out Matt Doherty as he scored a second goal, and only succeeded in injuring himself. He was the Aberdeen goalkeeper, so he ended up sustaining a shoulder injury, and 5 minutes later went in at half time and didn't reappear. So on comes the manager's son, and he didn't get a particularly warm welcome by the fans, but the fact that it was sparsely populated it was fairly confined to certain areas, but you could feel the tension in the air.
Mm-hmm. It's a great result for Ireland in the sense that I can't remember the last time we've actually won, I suppose, convincingly away from home like this, and to bring a 2-1 advantage into the second leg now, and Bulgaria already almost conceding that this is going to be the case. It's really our game to lose now, isn't it?
Oh, it is. This would be a disaster if we were to blow this away. Like, it's there's a lot of good things to take from Thursday, and it would give you a sense of optimism for tomorrow. But this is Ireland, and sometimes we shoot ourselves in the foot, and you know, Bulgaria score tomorrow and the tie is level, and you have all those factors that I mentioned at the start breeding in that, you know, Ireland are vulnerable then. Now looking at how little Bulgaria conjured in the second half to the day, like Quevin Kelleher didn't have a save to make in the second half, you would think that Ireland should really take this game, but you know, take the initiative in the game. And having been at the press conference this morning, the pre-match ahead of Sunday's game, Hoymer Hal Grimson just confirmed that there's no injuries, there's no suspensions. He had some selection dilemmas to resolve the day, so he is going to make some changes. But I think you're going to get an Ireland team that's very fit, very motivated. So all those elements are in our favour. But were we to somehow bungle this, it would be a big setback. So you can only hope that in some ways we've turned the corner and those days are behind us, that we're not really scraping past these teams or even dropping points against them, which we were, you know, with Armenia and Luxembourg and in the recent years, and we can get the job done.
You have to say as well, it's kind of the first time we've seen Hal Grimson make a massive decision for the national team, obviously choosing to exclude Seamus Coleman from the squad. But it seems to have paid off, and I suppose in this term he got the result he wanted, so he can kind of get away with it. This is kind of him settling in now, isn't it, really?
Yeah, it is. That Coleman decision probably got a bit overlooked, you know, because there were so many subplots that were going on around the time of a squad announcement with those comments from Stephen Bradley, you know, about him being out of touch and so on. But it'll be interesting what happens after this tie, because Coleman is he's not injured now, he's not that match fit, but he was excluded from the squad. Matt Doherty gets back in, he starts at right back, scores the winner, and then when you look at the options that are there, you know, in terms of alternatives, Jake O'Brien's playing in the Premier League every week, he can come in and play right back. Jimmy Dunn can play right back. Darragh O'Shea has played right back already under this manager. So the question is, where does Seamus Coleman fit in then? You know, if you were to look ahead, but things can change. Seamus could get back into the Everton team, and we've got two friendlies in June before those World Cup qualifiers, those all-important ones begin in September.
Mm-hmm. I have to ask, and obviously only one of the sort of the, I suppose, debutants came on, Rocco Vatta coming on there, and I think with his first touch of the game getting a yellow card, but outside of those initial nerves, how do you think he looked on the day?
Yeah, he looks like someone that has a bit of dash about him, if not a bit raw. So I think the intention all along was to bring him on. He only had 10 minutes, and as you say, that booking was really unnecessary by the referee. He dished out a lot of yellow cards in the second half, but I think you will probably see him tomorrow because the manager has described him as a match winner. Now, there may not have to be a match to be won tomorrow, but there'll still be scope there to experiment to a level, or certainly to a degree. So I think we will see Rocco Vatta involved again at some time, probably with more game time compared to Thursday.
Absolutely. Well, Ireland welcome back Bulgaria to the Aviva Stadium tomorrow at 7:45, 2-1 on aggregate there. John, thank you so much for joining me. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Tracking sport across the southeast.
Sports Beat Extra.
The Waterford FC women's team make the trip down to the showgrounds this evening to take on Sligo Rovers. But before we dive into that, we need to take a look back at the Waterford FC women's team's first ever home game in the League of Ireland Women's Premier Division. They welcomed FAI Cup holders and title hopeful Shelburne to Waterford. While the 4-0 result wasn't what they'd hoped for, with a crowd of 1,076 in attendance, manager Gary Hunt says this moment has been a long time coming.
This occasion's a long time coming, and you know, a fantastic day for football today, and to see everybody to come out in their droves and get behind everybody. I have to pay massive credit to everybody for really backing up the support today, and I hope that, you know, we've done enough to make them want to come back. And I know the scoreline maybe won't suggest that, but as I said, when I look at the girls talking and taking pictures at the end there, it seems to suggest that the fans have had a good time today, take away from results.
Danielle Griffin said she was honoured to captain the side at the RSC.
Yeah, to go out and wear the Watford shirt for the first time in the RSC was a special day for sure.
Despite this, Griffin is hopeful they'll be able to channel the best of their performance when they take on Sligo Rovers.
Yeah, look, it was quite disappointing in the end. I thought we had a really good first half, so the second half was quite disappointing in that we conceded 4 goals probably within 15 minutes, you know, all set pieces. I think there's loads of positives to take from our performance. You know, we held Shells off for the whole first half, and they're a really strong side, a really experienced side. But then there's loads to work on going into our game against Sligo Rovers next week.
Speaking to Hunt a few days later, he says he's hopeful they'll be able to get their first few points on the board against the struggling Sligo side.
Yeah, look, it's the longest trip for us in the league. It's our second away game, so it's going to be out of the way if we want to look at it from that point of view. But no, we have to look at the game and prepare right. You know, as you said, they've had a poor season last year, probably for their standards. You know, they'll definitely want more from this season, and they'll see this game as an opportunity to maybe get some points on the board. But I think our mindset has to be that as well. So we have to manage all the small details, the travelling, the making a long day of it, but not allowing that to get inside the head of the girls, you know, and them just to have, you know, their thoughts solely focused on how can we maybe impose our game a little bit more in Sligo. Obviously, we've 2 games we can look back on now and maybe take a little bit from them, and they've played a little bit contrasting systems of play in both games from what we've seen. But we'll prepare, as I said, we'll prepare to have a go in the game, and hopefully we can get that elusive first points on the board.
Midfielder Mia Lenihan says contests against sides like Sligo Rovers are what they've been looking at as key games before the season kicked off.
Yeah, these will be the games that we're really looking to take the points, that we'll be more kind of on their level, hopefully anyways, on the weekend, that we can get our first few points on the board, and then going into the week after against DLR, hopefully we can start putting some points on the board and build a motivation on the team.
Waterford's clash with Sligo Rovers kicks off at 8:25 tonight in the showgrounds, with that game being shown live on TG Cahir. Now, before we finish up this week's show, let's take a look at some of the fixtures you can look forward to for the rest of the weekend. As mentioned earlier, in Division 1A of the Hurling League, Limerick take on Wexford, Tipperary host Clare, and Galway travel to Cork. All of those games throw in at 7:30. Tomorrow in the Allianz Football League, Wexford travel to Longford to hopefully finish off their league season unbeaten. Limerick host Waterford, Tipperary host Wicklow, and Carlow play London. All of those games kick off at 1 o'clock. In the Ladies National Football League, Tipperary travel to Donegal in Division 2, and it's a Southeast clash in Division 3 as Carlow take on Wexford tomorrow. With the international break among us, Ireland welcome Bulgaria to the Aviva Stadium tomorrow for their second leg in the Nations League playoff. Ireland currently lead going into that tie 2-1. Kickoff is at 8:15. In the Airtricity Women's Premier Division, Waterford make the trip to the showgrounds for a 7:35 kickoff against Sligo Rovers. And in the Women's Six Nations, there's one final first round game tomorrow as England host Italy.
Sports Beat Extra.
Beat 102-103.
That's all for this week's Sports Beat Extra. You can listen back on our website, beat102103.com/podcasts. Don't go anywhere though, as the soundtrack to your Saturday night, Beat Anthems, is on the way next.